Morning, church. I'm not sure I can follow that. So after going through it in first service, like the second set of singing that affected me very differently. So that was pretty awesome. So thank you for that. Thank you for sharing that. I was thinking about it. I was like, wait a minute, in 24 hours from now, I'll be in Guatemala. And I was like, oh, no, I won't. I'll be in Houston. Time change. Doggone it. I got all excited for like a minute. I would ask you guys just to close your ears. As you guys turn in your Bibles this morning to Colossians 1:15. So I came to this realization, I think it was either last night in the shower or this morning, that over the past 7 years of my life, this past week, I have been gone out of the country or in a different part of the world 5 out of those 7 times in the past 7 years. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. What is more amazing about that is actually Thursday was our anniversary, which tells you that out of the last 7 years, I have been gone for the last 5 or 5 of them. This year, I was not. I scheduled Guatemala a little bit better this year. Yay me, to do that. And so we celebrated, Emily and I celebrated 15 years this year, and we celebrated, thank you. We celebrated by taking our kids to Dutch Wonderland, because that's what you should do on your anniversary, evidently. So what better way than to go and sweat in Dutch Wonderland? Actually, it was really awesome, and I want to thank the youth for that. That was actually a gift from my ordination service to go there. That was expenses paid, and so I appreciate that. That was a huge blessing to my family, to my kids especially, who enjoyed it. And I did enjoy the water park quite immensely. That was awesome. So I'm a little fired up this morning because other things are happening today. And everybody's like, how are you doing with Guatemala? And I'm like, no, I compartmentalize my life. So I can't get ready for Guatemala until I finish preaching. So as soon as I'm done talking to you, then I can focus on Guatemala. I probably should get them things ready. Yeah, well, there's always later today. So we're going to do this, and I was excited this morning. I was thinking about this. Neil got to ride a roller coaster for the first time in his life this week. It's one of those wooden roller coasters, which I hate, but I thought it was a good experience for him. And the amount of seat belts that you need to put on to ride one that doesn't, you know, really go upside down. It's really not that intense. And so I was like, all right, this morning's sermon, you just need your lap bar and one seatbelt. Okay? However, I will warn you that there's another sermon coming in August that you're going to need the full array, like the harness, the 5-point, the whole thing is going to be, but just for this morning. So that usually means I'm only going to get at you a little bit. Colossians 1:15 through 20, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Let's pray. Father, we just lift these things up this morning. God, is just take a deep breath. God, I thank You for what's going to happen this morning, God, for what You want to say. May they be Your words, not mine. May You move in us. Amen. So this morning, we're going to talk about church. Well, that's convenient. You're sitting in one. Not exactly. You're not exactly sitting in a church. We're going to talk about two different aspects. So what is missing? You are. Ta-da, hokey church sign for this morning. There you go. How many of you have seen this on a church sign somewhere? Or at least on Facebook on somebody else's post about a church sign, right? Yeah, okay. Let's talk a little bit. Let's go a little bit deeper than this. Your large word for the week, ekklesia. There you go, ekklesia. It actually is a Greek word. It's coming from two different Greek words. This is what is written when Paul writes and describes the church. This is the word that he uses for church. The first part of the word is ek, meaning out or from, and klesio, which is means to call. So therefore, the church, a called out people, or a people called out. That is what you are. You are called out. And so to be called out, what does that mean? Are you different? Are you different than the world around you? Does your life and your habits reflect something differently than what else is seen? Being the church means that you will never not meet regular meeting. This holds a different connotation when you go into some countries where meeting may require you to hide at the same time. So if we're never to give up meeting together, this means that it should be really important, right? Really important. The average churchgoer in America goes to church 1.7 times a month. That's less than 21 times a year. Now I see blank faces, which means everybody is doing calculations. Wait, how many times have I missed this one? I was there that Sunday. I know. All right, I'm at 22. All right. You know, I'm beating the norm. You know. So we all do these calculations and we kind of run through this, but why share this? Why say this? Well, it ties into something different. What happens when children play violent video games? They become desensitized, right? They become desensitized to violence. It's a tactic that some countries use with their soldiers. They play violent video games and therefore they become desensitized to violence. It doesn't affect them anymore. It's the same thing as when you watch scary movies or movies with a lot of gore in them. You become desensitized to blood and gore, and that's things. So my question this morning is, have you become desensitized to church? Because when you're not here, you become desensitized to it. And you stop feeling the need to go. You stop feeling the need to be part of something bigger. You find yourself caring less for people and their problems. Man, people have a lot of problems. And you also might start to feel lonely and uncared for yourself and unable to understand why. It's because you've become desensitized. Hebrews 10:25, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. If we are the body, when you are missing your gifts, we can only do so much and go so far because we're missing a vital element of what is necessary. We're missing you. And so what happens? We end up looking like that guy. If you are the hands and feet of Jesus, can I just give it, where's Pierce? Shout out to Pierce this morning he's working on something. He's sitting in my office. He's like, what do you need? I was like, I need a picture of somebody missing body parts. This is what he gave me. I love it. This is what the church ends up looking like when you are not here. When you are not present, we are missing parts. Camping, hunting, the beach may be where you find God, but it's not where you find the church. Ouch. See, just one seatbelt. You're okay. It's okay. Just take a deep breath. Even writing that statement, I was like, that stings a little. I like finding God in nature. I'm not so much at the beach because kids are there and it's sand. But that's hard to hear. That may be where we find God, but it's not where we find the church. And so when you're there or we're not here and you're not part of the body, we end up being torn apart and not being a whole person. part. And so it's very difficult to do what we need to do when you're missing. You are vital to the success of this body. Now I want to look at the second part. How many of you guys have a portfolio, 401k, investment, something, right? A couple of you? Oh, a few of you. How many of you study the CEO or the people running those companies, right? We have a tendency, hopefully, to do that. Well, this guy is a terrible human being. I'm not investing in them. Or maybe you're like, well, they make a lot of money, so I'm investing in them anyway. But if we're going to study an organization, if you're going to study something, you want to study the head of that something. So if we're studying the church, you say, listen, I need to study the head of the church. This brings us to our next big word of the day, PBology, the study of Pastor Brian. Don't tell him I said that. Ryan's now unemployed. I'm just kidding. That is not true. We'll do a really easy one. How about Christology? If you are going to study the church, you are going to study Christology, the study of Christ. I don't know how I landed the simple one, but there you go. I got an easy one. The study of Christ. This is where relationship starts. We know the power of God the Father. We see the moving of the Holy Spirit. I hope you felt that this morning. The moving of the Holy Spirit. But we experience the relationship with the Son, Jesus Christ. This is where it changes. Everything is held together by Jesus. Verse 16, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him, for him. Everything in your life flows through Jesus. That's not always the easiest thing to make work in reality. But that is what is said in the Bible. The second one, Jesus is the head. Verse 18, he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. It's his body, it's his bride, and you're his. He gets headship. However, small thought, what good is a head without arms and legs? You were bought and paid for. I've been working on a theory, and I don't have a name for it yet, so we're going to call it God is blowing up my life theory. Anybody else have a theory like this? Possibly? And it's this thought that when we come into a hard time in our life, or someone challenges us and what we believe in our theology, what we go through, we have two choices. You run to religion, or you run to Jesus and his body, the church. Those are really your two directions to go. A few weeks ago, I went to my grandmother's 90th birthday party. Let me tell you, it was hopping. The band was amazing. None of that is true. I come from a very traditional, very, very religious family. Matter of fact, most of them are still waiting for me to get saved. And if you think I'm kidding, I'm not. I'm not sure what they're expecting. I thought it was good. Most of my family is either Dunkard Brethren or German Baptists. So, you know, the people with the black cars that you wonder how an Escalade in all black makes you humble. I'm not sure either, but I'd really like to know. But that is what I come from. And so they're really good at religion and tradition. And so I don't really go to family things because I am a very terrible hunter and I don't farm. And so I'm kind of out of things to talk about. And they don't understand at all what I do. They're like, so you work at a church? Yes. So like every day. Yes. I mean, it's really just one day a week. Let's be honest. It's one day. They didn't get that joke, by the way, at all. But they don't understand it. My poor brother, who is a CFO, they really don't get what he does. So there ain't a whole lot in common, but because I love my grandmother, and my grandmother, I spent a lot of time with her as a kid, and we lived beside her, and my grandmother invested a lot in mine and my brother's lives. I wanted to be there for her. And so I get put in this situation while I'm there, and I have a cousin whose family is going through probably one of the most traumatic experiences of their entire lives. There's been multiple affairs. There's been all of this hurt and pain and all of this stuff that just kind of came out of nowhere. And in the middle of this is caught this wife who is literally experiencing signs of PTSD. And I don't know if you've ever looked into someone's eyes and seen no hope, but that's a hard thing to see. To see someone and to see no hope left in their face. And it just destroys you. And in that moment, I realized, all right, God, this is why I'm here today. I thought I was here for my grandmother and just pay my respects and move on. But this is why I'm here. There's a woman, she's a woman who knows all the rules, knows her place in life, knows all the religious practices and what's supposed to happen. But it's not enough. And so I'm talking with her because none of those things have stopped the pain and the hurt or have fixed anything. And I'm talking with her, and she says one of the most profound things that any Christian could ever say, but especially someone coming out of this background in this family setting. She says, "No one here can help me. They don't have any answers. And none of this matters anymore. All I have left is Jesus." I'm like, wow. That's heavy. And I was like, half of me was like, yes, you get it. And the other half of me is so sad because of everything she had to go through to get to this point. I'm like, wow, that's awesome and terrible all at the same moment. And I say this not out of pride, but out of reality, is that sitting in that place and driving home as I'm talking to my wife, I say, do you realize that there are four people there that understand what she just said? Nobody else understands what just was said. Because the religion is so heavy, they don't see it. And at one point she actually pulled me away from everyone. She goes, because they're not going to understand what I'm telling you. And they want to help, but they don't have any answers. And I was crushed. But it got me thinking over the past few weeks, and I'm like, God, why does it end there? Why is that not the place that we start? Shouldn't we start with that? None of this matters. None of this tradition and religion matters. All that matters is Jesus. Isn't that the starting place, not the ending? How much pain was caused to get her to that place? You see, the church, you as a church, us as a church, religion has all the right answers, but it never has the one that is the answer. I want to say something that might fly a little bit in your theology or what you believe, but you put your seatbelt on so you can't get away. Hear me out. Jesus is enough, but that is not how it was designed. Jesus is the head, but you are the hands that help restore and rebuild. You are the arms that help protect the beaten. You are the legs that run towards someone in need. You are the feet that bring Jesus to the broken. You are. That's what your job is. Jesus is the head. But your job is to be all of those things. Everybody wants a church and to be around people like this. When you're going through the worst times in your life, don't you want someone to run towards the problem instead of away from it? Don't you want someone to wrap their arms around you and protect you? Don't you want someone to be the feet that brings Jesus into your situation when you can't find him? And if everybody wants that church, then why aren't we? And I say we because it's as much me as anybody else in this room. Religion and tradition will never do this. Remember, it's religion that is standing with stones in hand, ready to kill the woman caught in adultery. But it's Jesus in the dirt next to her. Right? That's where you find him. Not standing with stones, having all the right answers, but kneeling beside. I bought this shirt, and then I developed a sermon around it. Well, no, that's not true. Jesus, 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 till the day I die. It's not the end. It's the beginning. If we start there, we can change everything. In order to live this out, we must be a body. This is where we gather. I am the church. I meet other body parts here. We come together with Jesus as the head to change the world out there. I am the church. I meet other body parts in here. We come together with Jesus as the head to change the world out there. As the worship team comes up, I would like us to say this together, and I would ask you to repeat after me. Let's just stand up. I would ask you just to repeat after me. I am the church. I meet other body parts in here. We come together with Jesus as the head to change the world out there. Jesus, 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 till the day I die. Amen.